All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm John Rubino, sitting in for your usual host, Jay Taylor, who is right about now eating his way across Europe. So if he fits into the plane when it's time to come home, he'll be back next week. Jay wants to thank you for listening, and he also wants to thank his sponsors who make the show possible. They are RN Resources, Balmoral Resources, Bonterra Resources, Genesis Metals, Klondike Gold, Northern Empire, and Novo Resources. Today's guests are Jay's technical guru, Michael Oliver, who will tell us about the stock market and how we should be investing for this new era of volatility, followed by Brian Groves, the chairman of Genesis Metals Corp, a sponsor of the show and a company that Jay thinks has discovered what could be a serious gold deposit in Quebec. Last but definitely not least, I'll be speaking to the great Doug Nolan, publisher of the Credit Bubble Bulletin. He'll tell us why the past decade's monetary madness has set the stage for the mother of all credit crises, and maybe he'll tell us when that crisis is due. But first, I've got Michael Oliver with me now. Michael, thanks for coming on. Great to talk to you again.
Great to be back. Good.
So, according to Jay, you've made some bold calls lately. Want to start with them?
Yeah, well, we can focus, I think we have a brief amount of time here, on stocks and gold, market and gold. And they've both been, they've both been undergoing what I call the extreme lack of volatility recently. Stocks were very volatile in February, of course, and but then they got into a congestion zone. And I'm looking at the S&P 500 right now, not the NASDAQ 100, which is packed with about five stocks at the front end that caused it to make a new high. But most indexes, after they collapsed from the January-February collapse, they went into a congestion zone, and they got tighter and tighter, where a lot of redundant price action, you know, good 2-3-4 up weeks and 2-3 down weeks and so forth, and you're kissing your sister. It's going sideways. So it's gotten back into its more or less quiet action. And I think the problem with the stock market is, well, I think it is topped. I'm talking about the S&P 500 especially. I think that the decline it's going to produce is going to be arduous. It's not going to be a crash, I don't think. I think later on in a bear market it might be. But I think the initial top will be this deceptive type action we've had where they take you off the high dramatically, and then they put you in numbness for about 3 or 4 or 5 months where you can't figure out whether it's going up or down. And the happiness comes back, and you know, sentiment comes back, and so forth. Well, gold sort of went through the same thing recently, except in the opposite way. First off, we turned bullish on gold at $1,140 back in February of 2016 based on annual momentum breakout. Nothing has changed that despite repeated sell-offs over the last couple of years. Right now, the gold's at about $1,280. But in January through April of this year, it was pushing up into the mid-1300s. Each month, it would be 1330, 1340, 13. The reason was, if anybody will pop up a gold monthly price chart, go back to 2013, especially look at the monthly closes, and you'll see there's a line that comes through going all the way back that five-year period, and it very gradually declines, and any idiot could draw it with a ruler if he just looks at that chart. And that's a price chart breakout level that would echo what annual momentum has already said 2 years ago, namely up. if you can close a month out above 1340, you break out over this line. Well, so for 4 months, we spun our wheels quietly just below that level, couldn't get through, couldn't gnaw our way through. Therefore, when you can't get through something that you intend to go through ultimately, sometimes the best solution is to do the opposite. And so I think the gold market, with the dollar rally that we've had, which I view as counter trend, has backed off enough to spook a lot of folks and to create what might be a slingshot effect. Drop down into the 1270s, right now it's 1280. I think, frankly, if you jump up about $10 or $20 above here, that sell-off is definitely over and you're way back up. And that should be interesting, because if gold ever goes through that 1340 level on a monthly close, the next phase of this bull market commences. And I think anybody with a price chart at that point would finally say, okay, now I believe it. We already believe it based on momentum, but that price barrier is up there, and I think this recent sell-off was for the purpose of getting that some volatility into gold, clean out some longs, create some doubt, and create a slingshot effect. Thanks to Trump, I think, is a good factor in causing some of this recent volatility. It's hit quite a few markets, by the way, not just pulling back gold and causing the dollar to rally or stock market to get rattled a bit here, but it's also rattled up the copper market, oil market, and so forth. And some of that volatility could be good in getting certain markets going, coming out of congestion.
Okay, so where's the next big resistance with gold then? Can we get up into the 1500s
on this cycle? I think you can get up to 1700 rapidly.
Oh, that would be great.
If you can get to 1340. Now, that's not the end. I think that gold is in its last bull market of the bull markets that we've seen since the 1970s. And I think this one could be a monster. But the first working target, and I don't mean the target ultimately for the move, I suggest 1700 area would be the next pause point if you can clear the 1340 price level, which I think is going to happen, but it's taken some time to do it. And it probably has to get this dollar counter trend rally out of the way first. That may be a factor. And I view the dollar rally as a counter trend rally, that its major trend is down, and it's finally produced, after a year of decline, a decent counter-trend rally. No trend goes from point A to point Z without counter-trend rallies or counter-trend sell-offs. It's just a fact. And that's how we rank the dollar situation. But that's sort of gotten in the way of gold for a while. But gold's absorbed it very well, actually. In fact, the dollar percent rally, dollar index I'm talking about, from its low to the recent high, is actually more than the gold sell-off has been, which is highly unusual because the dollar on a volatility basis or percent move basis normally moves a lot less than do commodities that might move inversely to it. So gold has actually taken the dollar rally very well, I think.
Okay, so to kind of summarize here, choppy stock market with a biased downward, and the beginning of a new gold bull market here with pretty considerable upside.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think we do it in layers, and gold's done it in layers, and I think the stock market will as well. And this is not something that's going to be over in, you know, a year. I think when you punch gold through that level, and when you take stocks down into their next level of hell, and at that point the public will become a little more convinced that it's really topped. Right now they're not convinced. They're debating because the S&P is coiling between its well off its high but well above the recent low. And so it's still a sort of a neutral debate field. I think that will change once you take the next layer down and they'll realize, oh, this thing has really topped. But again, the issue is, you know, how long does it go down, where does it go, and in what manner does it decline? And I'm inclined to think that the stock market bear market will be arduous, especially in, let's say, the first year off the high. It won't be, 50% of the way toward the goal right away. It'll be a laborious, layered process. And, of course, what does that do? It keeps investors in the market. But already I think there's an investor shift in sentiment. You can see it where those who doubt this very old central bank-supported stock market move, I call them the smart money, and that changes every 10 years or so, who's the smart money. But those who are doubtful of that, what have they done? I think a lot of them have moved into value, and value is in the commodities, particularly commodities that have not yet moved yet. That would exclude oil and copper, but it leaves things like grains, which recently got hit because of the tariff talk. But they're still in a basing situation that looks like very solid. In fact, we're already positive on the grains, despite the recent sell-off. But there's a lot of commodities out there that are at what you could call theoretical zero. Because commodities don't go to zero, of course, we know that. Some companies can, but commodities don't. So they get as low as they can get relative to the zero. And over time, that changes. Why? Because the devaluation of the money unit that we measure them by. You know, about every 10 years, the dollar quantity of dollars that are in the world doubles. So its real value declines dramatically. And therefore, what might be theoretical zero for soybeans this year might be two times what it was 10, 15 years ago. And I think basically grains have gone to theoretical zero and are itching for an up move. And I think that's a good place to be.
Okay. We've got about a minute left. So let's give something to your sophisticated listeners here. What's your favorite long-short combo right now?
I think that the holding the gold, you've got to hold a gold silver core position, and I think silver will outperform gold in the next up move, by the way. It has not over the last year or so, but I think it will do that. So that's a core position. Other core position would be, and right now it doesn't seem to be working, but I think it will definitely work out. It's worked well for the last year, but over the last 2 months it hasn't. And that is long emerging markets, short the S&P. We're short the developed markets, long emerging. The reason is the emerging markets went through a bear market from 2011 to 2016. They got cut in half while the S&P was going up. So they're a new bull market in the emerging markets when you measure it via the EEM as an ETF for the emerging markets. And it was born, as far as we're concerned, in January of 2017. So it's a fresh bull market. Yes, it's having a pullback right now. But on a relative basis, I think it'll beat the S&P by one, either going down less, or two, actually going up while the S&P goes down. And I think the thing that will favor the emerging markets is simply the commodity markets. As they base and turn up, that benefits the emerging markets, because emerging markets are largely commodity producers.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay, time for a commercial break, after which you'll hear an interview that Jay recorded a few days ago with Brian Groves, the chairman of Genesis Metals, which, as I mentioned earlier, has what looks like a pretty serious gold deposit in Quebec.
A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.